Song Blessed Assurance. We were just, it was very wonderful to stand up here and to hear everybody as they're singing at me with their hearts with that. You know, I'm grateful to see each one of you here. I know when we make the decision to come here that the Lord is pleased with us. And, you know, I feel this so much as I pray and as I consider my relationship with the Lord, you know, and look at it in my role as a father, you know, that as a father I try to be aware of what my children need. And to do the things that would help them in their time of need. And you know, our Father knows what we need. So as we've come here today, He certainly was aware of you and where you're at and those things that you need to hear from Him to be edified by it. And I'm certain that with that in mind, the Lord put a message on the heart of His servant and upon our brother. And so I'd ask that you would give your time and your attention and open your heart to the Lord and the message that our brother would bring today. So I give you Apostle Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Adam. It is good to be here with you today. It is good to see each one of you here. Last month, my brother Joel and I returned from a trip to Ethiopia. I want to start by just telling you a little bit about that trip. We had a good trip, but we had some problems, which is very typical of Ethiopia. Joel and I were talking, and I think last January was the only trip I know that I've been on where we were able to follow our complete schedule. Every other trip I've been there, something has happened, and we've had to rearrange our schedule. Well, this time was no different than normal. There was an uprising in an area, in a town called Tepi, and we have four congregations in that area, three in the surrounding area and one actually in Tepi. And what our leader, Kobach, calls guerrilla fighters, came in there and killed six soldiers. And what happens in Ethiopia when something like that takes place, they close the area down. And we were not able to go there. And we had 4 or 5 days scheduled to go there. One of our leaders, a man named Azane, he was arrested. And I think what they accused his son-in-law of being involved in this uprising. Whether he was or not, who knows. They tend to, when anything happens, if anybody's in the area, they arrest everybody. So anyway, that brother is in jail, and who knows how long he will be there. This is common in Ethiopia for these type of things to happen. We have another brother in another area who is also in jail for really who knows what. So these bad things happen. I mean, they happen all over the world. I mean, this is very common in Ethiopia for these things to happen because they have a very corrupt government. It's basically a total dictatorship. But you know how when some things bad happen, sometimes it gives an opening for good to happen. And really, that was the case on this trip. We weren't able to go visit those congregations, which was not good. But it gave us more time to work in other areas. And one of the areas we were able to spend more time is a place called Gambela. And it's very close to the Sudan border. They have, I don't know how many, 500,000 refugees in that area because of the problems in Sudan. But during this trip, we were able to spend extra days there, and we've been going there for a year and a half or so, and we were able to baptize 5 new members into the Church of Christ, which was a blessing. And you know, after we got out of the water, Brother Joel told me that one of the brothers said that when we were out there, that there was a crocodile out there. And I didn't see a crocodile. But, you know, this is something what we don't normally have to deal with, do we? I've never seen a crocodile in Stephen's pool, and I'm sure you haven't either. We were able to have 2 baptisms at a mission called Mazora. We were able to have 10 baptisms at a mission called Gelgel. And we were able to organize a new mission at Manari. We already had members there, and we were able to organize that mission. So you can see we were able to have some success and able to still accomplish the Lord's work. You know, the people in Ethiopia, we've heard many of them, many testimonies about how they've gone to other churches, other Christian churches in the area, and they say those churches do not preach the gospel. They don't preach it. It's all just kind of smoke and mirrors. They don't ever get down to faith, repentance, baptism, the very basics of the gospel. And they said that since they've been coming to the Church of Christ, that they had testimonies of how their lives have been changed because they came and they heard the truth of Jesus Christ preached to them. And they were so thankful that they had that opportunity to hear that truth, and they've joined the church and they are serving. They have chosen to serve the Lord in their lives. I want to start today by reading in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. This sermon today is similar to the one I preached at the Idaho reunion, but there will be some things that are different also. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We see here this man Joshua had gathered the tribes of Israel, and he's warning them, isn't he? He's warning them not to serve those gods, those idols, those false teachings. And we have those in America today. They're not idols. When we go to India, there's idols everywhere, every street corner, everywhere there's idols to worship. Elephants with six arms and all kinds of creatures. Those are the idols. But there's idols in America. Anything that we put before Christ is an idol. And Joshua's warning them, don't serve those other gods. And he's telling them to choose you this day whom you'll serve. We all have choices. We've all chosen to come here today. Many have chosen to be baptized and be part of the body of Christ. And he goes on to say, but for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's what each one of us needs to do in our daily walks of life. We need to choose Christ and we need to serve him daily. And we see that this took place, according to my calculations, about 3,400 years ago, a long time ago. And those people were required to choose. I want to look at some other scriptures about this subject. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 8 through 11. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We see here that even our Savior, Jesus Christ, was required to choose. He was tempted by Satan, just like we are every day. And he had to choose. He had to choose who he was going to serve. Let's go on in 2 Nephi, chapter 1. And verses 101 through 103. This is on page 85. And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God, and because that he had fallen from heaven, and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. The devil. He had to choose. It's hard for me to fathom that the devil, who was dwelling in the kingdom of heaven with God, would fall away. Isn't that kind of hard to imagine? But it shows that everybody has to choose, and that everybody has their own free will to do as they please. So here we see the devil fell from heaven. He chose evil. And it says a third of the host of heaven fell with him. They chose to follow evil. Hard for me to imagine. But we can see here that really it's not any advantage of when or where we live, is it? Here we had Christ had to choose. Back in Joshua's time, they had to choose. The angels in heaven had to choose. Let's turn over to John, chapter 6, and verses 24 to 27. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. We see here that these people came. They were looking for Jesus. They'd been following him, haven't they? But here Jesus knew what their intentions were. He knew that they were not there for the gospel that he was teaching. It says, because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. They were coming there for the temporal things of life. And he tells us not that we should be seeking the meat which endureth forever. That gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's see what happened to these people. Let's read on there in John chapter 6, in verses 66 through 69. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. From that time, many went back and walked no more with him. Here, this word disciple, it means a pupil or a learner. They were following Christ. But they had to choose, didn't they? They had a choice. They were walking with Christ. But they had to choose, and many fell away. We see this happen in every country we go to. Some come, they hear, and they walk away. Just like they did when Christ walked on earth. And you would think it would have been a great advantage, wouldn't you, to walk with Christ. But it wasn't for many, and they fell away. Life is full of choices. millions of choices. I don't know how many choices we make a day, thousands. Each one of you chose what to wear today, what to eat. You chose to come to church. We have our jobs, where we live, what to buy. Life is full of choices. We choose to sin or not to sin. We choose to follow God's commandments or not to follow His commandments. Some choices in life are important. It wasn't important what tie I wore today. But some choices will determine where we spend eternity. Today in the year 2017, there's 7-some billion people in the world. Every one of them has to choose. This is their time. This is our time to make those choices. Let's look at Moroni, chapter 7, and verses 13 and 14. This is on page 764. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything that inviteth to do good and to persuadeth to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and the gift of Christ. We see that all good comes from Christ. All good. And we know where all evil comes from, don't we? From that devil who is trying to lead us away to destruction. So we see as mankind goes through this life, making all these choices, that the scriptures are clear that they know good from evil. They know right from wrong. And the Lord has warned us about these last days that we are living in. He's warning us that many would be led away by the temptations of the devil. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We're to be aware. We're to be awake. That's what it means to be sober, to be vigilant. Be aware. And he gives us an example that we can understand. He talks about the devil as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. We see lions sometimes when we go to Africa. And you know, it's really a lot of work for lions. It's a lot of work to hunt and to kill. It's a lot of work. So what animal do they look for? Do they look for the elephants or the rhinos? Or the big, strong, mean-looking Cape buffalo? They look for the weak. They don't look for the strong. They look for the weak ones. They look for the ones that are not awake, that are not paying attention. And they come in and they devour them. That's the way the devil works. Oh, sure, he tries to tempt all of us. But if we are weak spiritually, if we are not awake or not aware spiritually, if we don't have that desire to serve the Lord every day, if we are growing weak spiritually, he's going to pounce on us. And if we're not careful, He will devour us. We can't overpower Satan by ourselves. We have to have Christ in our lives. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world. Don't put our faith and trust in those things of the world. They will only lead us to destruction. We have to put our complete faith and trust in God. Look to Him. He is our hope for salvation, not those things of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I think we all agree that we are living in the last days. We don't know how much time's left. Nobody knows. The scriptures tell us that. We're not going to know that. But we're going to see the signs. And we are seeing the signs. And it's getting closer. We are living in that last dispensation of time. And here we have a warning that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous. This is the only time it's used in scriptures. Only one time. And according to Strong's, it's dangerous. It means dangerous times. But it's through the idea of reducing our spiritual strength. That's the danger it's talking about. Reducing our spiritual strength. And can we look around this world and see how there's any number of things out there that's trying to reduce our spiritual strength, to get us to accept every evil thing that Satan has? We can see that happening in our nation right now. And we're pounded by it constantly, daily. That the evil is good and good is evil. And if we're not careful, it can reduce our spiritual strength. That's the day we are living in. But we have these scriptures. The Lord has given us these scriptures so we could read them and study them so that we would know, so we would be aware, so that we would be awake. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Are we not seeing this every day in this nation? That they're turning away from sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Turn away from the truth and turn to fables. It never ceases to amaze me the things that people will believe that make no sense. Make no sense. You know, Hubert, I remember him saying this many years ago, and I've heard him say it several times, that the gospel of Christ is common sense. It's common sense. Some of these things that people are accepting, they don't make any sense at all. But they are turning to those fables, and they are following after them. And we have to be careful in our lives what we accept and what our beliefs are. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Some shall depart from the faith. Unfortunately, we've had members of the Church of Christ depart from the faith. They have left. They're no longer with us. They've been led by those seducing spirits, the doctrines of the devil, tempted them, led them away, bound them with those chains. Alma, chapter 14, verse 58. It's on page 394. A very strong warning here. A very strong warning. And thus, we can plainly discern that after a people has been once enlightened by the Spirit of God and hath had great knowledge of things pertaining to righteousness and have fallen away into sin and transgression, they become more hardened, and thus their state becometh worse than as though they had never known these things. That doesn't sound good, does it? It doesn't sound good at all. We are commanded to endure to the end. And if we fall away, we are not enduring to the end. And this scripture applies. But this scripture is talking to us, the people in this room. The Lord is warning us, you and me. We have been enlightened by the Spirit of God. We know the truth of Jesus Christ. We have come, we have heard, most have accepted. Alma 16, verse 141. And now, how much more cursed is he that knoweth the will of God and doeth it not? Very clear words, need no explanation. We must focus on what is most important in our spiritual lives. Let's turn over to Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We see in this parable that this man never had enough goods, did he? He probably had more than anybody else. But it was not enough. He wanted more. He always wanted more. But it didn't do him any good, did it? His desire was not on the Lord. His desire was on the things of the world. He put his faith and trust in the things of the world. And what did it gain him? Nothing. He was lost. This scripture applies to many people in America today. They focus on their temporal wants and not on their spiritual needs. I have an example of how things have changed over the years. And it's kind of a silly little example, but it shows a pattern of change. And I actually used this many years ago before some of these younger people were even born. But it's been updated a little bit since then, and some things are a little different in it. In the 1950s and 1960s, McDonald's had only one French fry order size. It was just over 2 ounces and had about 200 calories, similar to today's small order. In the early 1970s, the original fries became a small, and a 320-calorie large size was introduced. In the 1980s, the old large became a medium, and the new large ballooned to 400 calories. By the mid-1900s, the large had expanded to 450 calories, plus now you could buy a supersize at a cost of 540 calories. By 2000, the large had become medium, the supersize had become large, and the new 7-ounce supersize weighed in at 610 calories. And consider this, McDonald's original burger fries and 12-ounce Coke contained 590 calories. 20 calories less than the new supersize fries. One of today's supersize value meals, a quarter pounder with cheese and supersize fries and Coke, delivers 1,550 calories. Now, this was in the year 2000. But since then, people have become more health conscious. And I can tell you that by flying on Delta, that they have all kinds of foo-foo meals now. Where I'm an old meat and potatoes guy, these kind of, I guess they're health conscious. I'm not even sure what they are. Anyway, became more health conscious. And there was an outcry from America that the super-sized fries had too many calories. So McDonald's listened, and they cut their super-sized fries from 610 calories to 510 calories. But to make up for it, they added an 860-calorie Grand Mac hamburger. So you add a 280-calorie soft drink, and you now have a 1,650-calorie meal instead of the old 1,550-calorie meal. Kind of so much for being health conscious. And if you want to add an 820-calorie large shamrock shake instead of the 280-calorie soft drink, you are now at 2,190 calories. And McDonald's also now has a 750 calorie coffee drink. So how did we get here? How did we go from a 590 calorie meal to a 2,190 calorie meal? Because people wanted more. They were no longer satisfied. And I'm not saying that if we eat a 2,190-calorie McDonald's meal that it's a sin, but we can see the change over time. It shows how people want more today. And some are never satisfied. We can see it all around us. Kind of like the man with the barns, isn't it? He never had enough. They put their whole focus on the temporal things of life. And if we do this, if we get caught up in this, it will lead us away from Christ. Here's the original 9-item McDonald's menu. It was called a McDonald's Amazing Menu. A pure beef hamburger was 15 cents. A tempting cheeseburger was 19 cents. A triple thick shake was 20 cents. Golden French fries was 10 cents. A thirst quenching Coke was 10 cents. A delightful root beer was 10 cents. Steaming hot coffee was 10 cents. A full flavor orange drink was 10 cents. And refreshing cold milk was 12 cents. 9 menu items. In 2013, McDonald's had 145 items on their menu. I couldn't find how many they had today. Probably a few more. But when I was a kid, I was satisfied with McDonald's original menu. I can remember when McDonald's came to Grand Junction, Colorado, a little bitty podunk town of 20,000 people, and here comes McDonald's. It's the rage of the world. Here it comes to Grand Junction, Colorado. I can remember those little golden arches. I can remember my parents taking me down there, and I could eat all I wanted of McDonald's food. I was satisfied when I was a kid. I want now to look at what we need to do in our daily walk of life. We must focus on our spiritual lives and not on the temporal things of life. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. We'll also read verse 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Very familiar scripture, very, very plain. That we're not to put our focus on the temporal things of life, but the spiritual things. And it also is very clear that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasure is on earthly things, that's where our heart will be, not on Christ. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can't serve the Lord and this world. We have to choose. We've talked about that, haven't we? We have to choose. And if you're trying to walk the fence, you can't stay there for very long. You're going to choose. You're going to fall one way or the other. You're either going to follow the world or you're going to follow the Lord. And no way to walk up there. You're going to fall off one way or the other. Righteous means morally right, virtuous, acting in accord with God's law. Acting in an upright way. It's all those good things that we're to have in our lives. Acting according to the way God wants us to act. That's what it means to be righteous. And it tells us that we're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're to have that strong desire or craving And it's just like when we are hungry for food, or when we were thirsty, if we're out there in the middle of the desert, especially this time of year, we're going to be thirsty, aren't we? And it's not going to take long. And we're going to have that strong desire for water, anything, hot water, it doesn't matter, water. We're going to have a strong desire for it. That's what the way we must be. We must have that strong desire for living a righteous life. We must have a strong, compelling desire to be free from sin and to obey all of God's commandments. That must be the desire of our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to put Christ first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put him first in our lives, and he will provide for us. He will provide the things we stand in need of. No, we're probably not going to be rich. But if we were rich, it would probably destroy us. And the Lord knows that. But if we put God first, he will provide those things that we stand in need of. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your spirit, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We must be willing to sacrifice anything that the Lord asks us. We must be willing to do anything that he asks us to do. Because if he asks us to do something, he will help us to accomplish it. He will be there with us to bless us and strengthen us. And be not conformed to this world. That is a great danger today. The way the beliefs and the evil that is being accepted in this nation, we cannot be conformed to this. Third Nephi, chapter 5, and verses 66 through 68. This is on page 636. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Here the Lord tells us many things. He says he's given us the commandments. We have them in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. He's telling us that we must believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. That we must repent of our sins and come unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We must come unto him in a humble and sincere manner. Verse 67, behold, you have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. We must follow the commandments that the Lord has given unto us. But in verse 68, again, it gives us one of these strong warnings. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Very strong words. But they came from our Master. They came from our Lord. So we would know. So we would know what is required of us. In the Church of Christ, we believe that we must keep all of the commandments. That's what the Lord taught us. That is not common in most Christian denominations today. They pick and choose the commandments they want to follow. And you can look all over this nation who people walking out of Christian churches. They go there on Sunday morning. Yet they are accepting all this evil of the world today. They pick and choose which ones they want to follow. Which ones are the popular ones today? And if we don't keep all of the commandments, we're committing sin. In James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know to do good, don't we? We must do the things that we know we should be doing. We must do them every day. And if we willfully don't do them, it is considered to be sin. We have to look into our hearts and see what we are doing in this life. What are we doing willfully? Is it good or is it bad? And attending church is something that God has commanded us to do. Moroni chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 6 and verse 9. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Verse 9, and their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or exhort, or to pray, or to supplicate, or to sing, even so it was done. We see these things that the Lord has commanded us. He said, and the church did meet together oft. We have been commanded to meet together oft. And He gives us several things that He tells us to do. To come, to fast and to pray, to speak one another about the welfare of our souls, to partake of the bread and wine, the emblems, the remembrance of Jesus Christ. And we're to come here to preach. This is a preaching service. Earlier we had a Sunday school. Or to exhort, or to supplicate, or to sing. We're to come here and to sing songs, to sing praises unto our Lord. And here we see the word supplicate. It means an earnest request. When we are praying, it's an earnest request. To exhort, it means to admonish urgently, implore, advise, to urge, to caution earnestly. We are to come here to hear these things. To hear what the Lord has for us. To hear what He's trying to tell us. And all our services are important. Song services. We're praising the Lord. I was called to be a priest during a song service. The Lord was there. He was mindful of us. And I've noticed recently that fewer people have been attending on Wednesday night services. Sunday, there's almost always less people on Sunday night. It's important to attend church regularly. This helps us to grow stronger spiritually. We need it. We need the Lord in our lives. In Alma, chapter 4, verse 6. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft and join in fasting a mighty prayer. We see that they were commanded to meet together oft. It's an important part of our spiritual lives. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Again, this is scripture is talking about our day. Don't forsake assembling ourselves together. And so much more as you see the day approaching. It's more important every day to us to meet together, as we plainly can see the day approaching when Christ will return. I realize that there are many times when we cannot attend church. I shouldn't say many. I realize there are times when we cannot attend church. But if we are not attending church because we don't want to, or because it's not important to us, or because we are putting the temporal things of life first, or if we need to ask ourselves every Sunday and every Wednesday, am I going to attend church today? And we are becoming weak spiritually. And when we become weak spiritually, we are in danger of falling away. You know, almost everything in life becomes easier the more we do it. Sin is one example. The more we sin, the easier it becomes. Following the commandments. If we're striving to follow the commandments, it becomes easier the more we do it. If we are not attending church regularly, it gets easier and easier to miss another service and another service. And if we're not careful, we'll miss them all because it'll no longer be important to us. But if we try to come to every service, it becomes easier and easier. I know when I was growing up with my parents, I lived with them till I was 20 years old. They never asked the question, am I going to church today? Never. Because we went to church every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. They didn't have to ask that question. They knew what they were doing. They knew where they needed to be. They knew where I needed to be. We got one more scripture. 1 Nephi chapter 2 and verses 62 to 63. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. We know that this rod of iron is the Word of God, something that we must hang on to, hold on to it. And we have to understand that the Word of God is everything that Christ told us. It's all of it. It's the Bible, the Book of Mormon. We have to hang on to all of it, whatever the Lord has told us to do. It talks about it, a straight and narrow path. We know that straight and narrow path will lead us to eternal life. It'll lead us to that tree. But we must hang on to it. We must hold on to it tightly and endure to the end. I'm going to close with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Without divine assistance, I cannot succeed. With it, I cannot fail. A very true statement. Without Christ in our lives, we will not succeed spiritually. We can't do it. But if we have Him in our lives, serving Him day and night, we will not fail. We will be successful in this life. And success is not measured in material things. Success is measured in eternal life. That's how we judge whether we're successful in this life, if we spend eternity with Christ. I thank you for your time.